Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Crossland, Corsa and Mokka. Three good reasons to visit the Opel Open Road event.
Now it's time for books and some ideas about what to buy for the reader in your life if you're on the hunt for presents. Rick O'Shea from RTE Gold and Louisa Cameron from Raven Books in Blackrock in Dublin have been collating their lists for us. And this week it's fiction. They'll be back next week with ideas for factual books. We're going to kick off now, Rick, with Cloud Cuckoo Land. Before we do, though, I just want to let people know that the full list is on rte.ie/todaycb because that's useful if people want to refer to it when they're out and about. So this is Cloud Cuckoo Land.
Yeah, for those people, if you're like me and you waited 7 years for the brand new novel from Anthony Dirr, if you loved All the Light We Cannot See, which was his last one prior to that, in theory, you wait for 7 years and that could be a crushing disappointment for a brand new book. This was not a crushing disappointment. It is, however, 650 pages. It spans everything from a series of stories that start in 15th century Constantinople, which is under siege, to the present day. There's a story that's set there and then to a spacecraft in the far future of the human race. Stay with me.
I'm drifting?
I can see the look. But the whole story is about how in the face of terrible things happening to people and apocalypses that we all tell stories to survive. And there is one story that runs through all of these that continues to influence all of these characters. Now, yes, it's part historical fiction. It's part contemporary thriller in the middle. I don't want to use the SF word. It's not science fiction at the end, but it is a story set in the very far future. It is complex. It is beautiful. It is, of course, gorgeously written. And it leaves you with a ton of things to talk about and think about after you've finished. I absolutely loved it.
So you loved it. You thought it was exceptional. I think it would be subject to my 50-page rule. You know, if you get to page 15, you're not in love.
I think every book should be subject to the 100-page rule. 50 is very harsh.
Yeah, 50 is harsh, but much better than what I used to do, which was read the whole thing, having decided to hate it halfway through.
No one should do that.
Yeah, no, life is too short.
No.
So Louisa, Sarah Moss and The Fell, there's a COVID backdrop to this one?
There is and there isn't. The crux of this is indeed lockdown. And on the surface, it's a very simple story that takes place over maybe 6-7 hours. A single mother who is supposed to be isolating because she's been a close contact goes for a walk up a hill. Very simple. Except it's so much more than that. The story is told through four voices. Kate is the mother. She's a single mother. Her teenage son, Matt, who is left at home. Their neighbour, Alice, who is a widow and recently finished chemo. And Rob, a member of the mountain rescue team who is called out after Kate fails to return home after dark. You're right in their thoughts. It's very stream of consciousness, which makes this a very, very quick read. And with your 100-page rule, you would be more than halfway through the book. It's only 180. 80 pages in total. And it's a very absorbing read. So you kind of fly through it. And it's only afterwards you realise the skill in what she has done in these subtle little drops in there, that she is looking at these huge themes that we've all had to consider over the last 2 years. Safety versus freedom, the risk of death and how willing we're willing to go to get close to that. And personal and collective responsibility, public and private shame, life choices and their cumulative repercussions.
So that sounds like something that's going to stay with you long after you've turned the last page.
It's an excellent book club book because there's so much to discuss in it.
That's The Fell by Sarah Moss. The next one then, Rick, is a short story collection. I read about Louise Kennedy, who wrote The End of the World is a Cul-de-Sac, a first-time author, and huge acclaim followed the publication of this.
Yeah, and there's that thing of I now want to read the novel, which is due out next year. She has just appeared, not out of nowhere, that's the wrong word, but I mean, I've done interviews with her this year where she talked about just joining a writer's group for fun and since then has managed to put this out. Now, it's been a great year for Irish short story collections. This is one of the absolute best. There are stories about people who are trapped for one reason or another in ghost estates, about old love, about grow houses in rural Ireland. There's one story about a character that has healing hands. There's one about murder in the Troubles as well. It's just the detail in some of these stories is just absolutely exquisite, and the beauty of the storytelling as well. She is a fantastic new voice. It would be brilliant at any stage. The fact that it's a first collection from a debut author makes it even more special. I did mention it. It's the first audiobook I've ever listened to.
Really?
I've never listened to an audiobook before. Ever. And I was on my way down actually to Cork for the Today Show a while back, and I thought I'll have a listen to this. The audiobook is narrated by Breege Brennan and it's absolutely fantastic, and it made me go, I'll have another go at another one of those.
I'm sure you will. They're really handy sometimes, the audiobooks. I mean, there is nothing like reading a book yourself.
It was great for the long journey driving down to Cork.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. And Louise Kennedy, formerly a chef.
Yeah.
With a really interesting backstory as well. Okay, that's a short story. So a couple of thrillers we're going to look at next. 56 Days by Catherine Ryan Howard and Silverview, a posthumous Le Carré novel.
Yes, Catherine Ryan Howard thankfully won the Irish Book Award for Best Thriller with 56 Days, which if it had been released 5 years ago would have been dismissed completely as unbelievable and ridiculous. Now we don't think it particularly strange that a couple who don't know each other very well would choose to move in together during lockdown, which wouldn't last that long. So Ciara and Oliver meet quite by chance just as the first cases of COVID are hitting the Irish shores. They see each other a couple of times over the next 3 weeks, and then as the first lockdown hits, they think, yeah, sure, we'll move in together, see how it goes. As it happens, they both have secrets and they both think that this might be a very good opportunity to hide them a little bit. It's no spoiler to say that 56 days after their initial meeting, just as lockdown is lifting, detectives find a decomposing corpse in Oliver's apartment. I don't want to give away any more than that. I think it's getting the highest praise in that customers are coming back into the shop looking for her earlier books.
That's a good sign.
So that's always a good sign.
The
John Le Carré Silverview is posthumously published. Again, a very short little novel. The reason I went for it was because it's about a young man who has a big high-flying job in the city and leaves to open a bookshop in a small village. So, of course, I was drawn into that. And you can see that Le Carré loved writing about that. The writing absolutely sings when he is talking about that protagonist. The second stream is about an agent who is trying to find a mole. And obviously, the two threads converge in this very short posthumous novel.
Okay, so two quick thrillers. There. Now, this next one is on my Christmas list, so I'm saving it to read at Christmas because I've heard so many good things about it. Claire Keegan's book, Small Things Like These.
This, if you had the 100-page rule, you would almost be at the end of the brand new Claire Keegan book. Now, you might know Claire Keegan. Foster was her novel. It's almost 11 years though since Foster came out. This is set in New Ross in the run-up to Christmas 1985, so it's also technically a Christmas story as well. Bill is the local coal merchant. He is trying to keep his coal business up and running. He's trying to keep everybody who works for him in a job. And he makes a delivery to the convent in New Ross in 1985 and sees something that causes him to then question a lot of things about his life and about the town itself. It's a story of working class life and of drudgery and of just putting one day after the other. But it's about love, it's about fear, it's about hope. It's ever so slightly about heroism as well. And it's about a town living in the shadow of the local mother and baby home. It is a very nuanced feat of storytelling. It is under 130 pages and it's probably the best Irish book I read this year. Mm-hmm.
This is one of those books that you read twice. And when I hear that, I always think, aha.
And I'm not the only one. I've spoken to a lot of people who've read it twice.
Okay, so that's Claire Keegan's new novel, set in Wexford, Small Things Like These. Highly recommended. Now, Susanna Clarke is our next author, and this is a curious book. Why is this a curious book?
It is, and I'm cheating a little bit because this was technically out last year, but it was in hardback, so it I don't think got the reach that it probably should have. It's now out in paperback. It is a difficult story to describe. I don't want to describe the story to you because she is a supreme storyteller, and her ability to unfold the details and keep the reader engaged is absolutely extraordinary. So I'm just going to go over the very basis of the story. So the protagonist, Piranesi, lives in a house, not a house as you or I would know it. It is vast with these great halls, with these magnificent statues up the walls. On the top story, there are clouds and stars and birds. On the lowest story, there are tides which rise and fall and at times converge. And in the middle story is where Piranesi goes exploring and meets the other, who is the only other human being alive in this vast house. As the relationship between the other and Piranesi begins to crack, Piranesi has to question every single thing that they know of. And I can't really say too much more than that, but it is amazing. It is one of the best books I have read, not just this year, but in a very long time. Again, it is super short and I would highly recommend.
How would you describe it? It sounds like a fantasy novel.
It comes under the umbrella of fantasy, but there's no elves, there's no dragons, there is none of that. There is no creature that you and I would not recognise. It won the Women's Prize recently, which was the first time a technically fantasy book won the Women's Prize. And she spoke so movingly. She has been ill for 30 years. She's a long-term illness. So a lot of this is about being confined and discovering who you are within that confinement.
Susanna Clarke Piranesi. And Rick, another one. This sounds like it would be good for a holiday read. It's by Sarah Winman, Still Life.
Yeah, again, this comes at the absolute top of the list of books this year. You may know Sarah Winman. This book is set at the beginning of in 1944, the Allies are making their way up through Italy. Ulysses is a British soldier who is on his way with the army, heading upwards into Italy. He meets Evelyn. Evelyn is an art historian who is also making her way through Italy, attempting to figure out what has been left, what has been destroyed, and what war has taken away. And the two of them meet each other and they develop a friendship. Ulysses finishes the war. He goes back to London, which is grim and dour in post-war London, to work in a pub. But then something happens that brings him back to Tuscany, and that's where the story starts. It spans World War II all the way to the late 1970s. The story is about love, it is about beauty, it is about art, it's about surviving loss. It's a little bit of a parable about Brexit as well. You can read it that way if you want to, but it's about creating family from those people that are close to you. I even had a tiny little weep.
Ah, so you really like that one as well.
It's fantastic.
Okay, that's another one that we put a little asterisk beside. This next book, The Lincoln Highway, I'm halfway through this. I'm enjoying it, but it's huge.
It is
it's a very large book. Long read.
In the single book, it probably is about four of my other books here.
Yeah.
But his last one, A Gentleman in Moscow, still is one of our bestsellers. It is just going on and on on his most extraordinary life. This is quite different, set in 1950s America, where two brothers, one of whom has been incarcerated for manslaughter, who's 18, he's just gotten out of prison, and discovers that as the warden leaves him off in his farm, that two other prisoners have escaped, and they have very different plans. He had planned to go west to California to start fresh. They want to go east to New York. And as with so many road trips, you realise that it is nothing to do with the destination. It is all about the journey. If you want a big fat read for Christmas, something to curl up by the fire with, I would say this is the perfect book for that.
Yeah, I would say so too. It's the perfect book with one very dysfunctional character.
Only one.
In there. maybe one and a half. Definitely one. So the next one then we have is by Ronan Heshen. This is has a retired soccer player at the centre of the story. Is that right?
Yeah, and don't immediately let that put you off. It is as much about football as Ted Lasso is about football, if you've watched that on Apple. Panenka is Ronan Heshen's second book. You may have heard, read or loved Leonard and Hungry Paul, which was his first. It was one Dublin, one book. It's about Joseph. Joseph is a former footballer in a small town somewhere we're not really told where. He did play football. He took the penalty that is the title of which comes from in the book, which then the local football team got relegated. The town kind of fell into disrepair and he feels in himself a guilt as a result of this. But the book is, like Leonard and Hungry Paul, about everyday human relatable characters who are kind to each other and who are just trying to get on with their lives. They live lives that are full of like a quiet, warm humanity and a kind of understated love for each other. And there's small dramas as well. He has beautiful flourishes of word as well, which he always does. If you like Leonard and Hungry Paul, it's definitely a worthy successor.
Desperately sorry for the person who misses the penalty. It's a great idea for a story, isn't it? Your Christmas book club charity appeal is underway again.
It is. And this is year four. We've raised 115 grand over the last 3 years. This year, the two charities we've chosen are the DSPCA and the Peter McVerry Trust. Hopefully we can make it to 30 grand by the time we get to Christmas. Fingers crossed. We're almost at 15,000 euro today as well. If people want the details, go and have a look at my Twitter, my Instagram or the Rick O'Shea Book Club in Facebook.
Okay, and you're looking for people to donate the price of a book, which is a good way to
that
look at it.
Lovely.
Given that people are interested in books and so on. Rick O'Shea, Louisa Cameron are going to be back with us next week on Thursday, and you'll have your choice of factual books for Christmas. So we look forward to talking to you then. Thank you both very much indeed.
See you.
Thanks.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.